But guys, we are super excited to have Josh Cole and Elise Cole here with us this morning. Encourage you to hang around afterwards. We're going to join in a lunch for some fellowship together and get to know Josh and Elise and Patrick a little bit better. But this morning gives us the opportunity to hear the story of the barista turned pastor. Young country boy, took us almost 2 years to find him, a bit like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but he came to us and we're super glad to have Josh and Elise here today. Josh, we're super excited to have you, Elise and Patrick here again today. Gives us an opportunity to hear a little bit about you. We've had a brief chat about what this might look like. We're going to start off with some really, really easy questions, just to ease you into it, and we'll dive a little bit deeper.
Beauty.
But these easy questions, congregation, will give you an opportunity to listen to what Josh is saying and pick some things that might relate to you that you can talk to Josh with afterwards. So starting off easy, Josh, what is your full name?
Yeah, full name, Joshua Cole, Joshua Paul Cole, so, yep.
Joshua Cole.
Joshua Paul Cole.
Joshua Paul Cole.
Yep, so you got the Joshua best hero in the Old Testament, best hero in the New Testament. Good. Without having Jesus in your name, that is.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. And your age?
35 this year. Yep.
35 this year.
Yeah, so mid-30s. It's scary.
When's your birth date?
22nd of September. Yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
Yep.
Very good.
1989 for any Taylor Swift fans out there. Yeah. Maybe went recently. I'm not a Swifty, but...
You're not a Swifty.
No, but we
couldn't quite get 80,000 people in here either, but we tried.
Yeah, at least went to that concert. So.
That's it.
Yep.
Do you have a nickname?
Usually it's Coley, or mostly Coley. They call me Virat as well at footy. If anyone's a cricket person, Virat Kohli is an Indian cricketer. So footy, they call me Virat, but mostly Kohli.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Josh, what's your favourite food?
Yeah, this is a tricky one. I love food. Probably Palmer's. I don't know if you call them Palmer's or Palmies down this far, down south. Palmer? Yeah, that's what I call them. That's good. Yeah, probably chicken Palmer. I love anything like lamb, whatever, whether it's roast lamb, lamb shoulder, lamb, just lamb is also...
Fantastic.
Probably not the favourite.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a hard decision though.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll have to get down to the Riddles Creek pub. So
yeah, okay.
They do
good one.
Toppings.
I am keen. I'm actually, Mildura doesn't have many good palmers anymore. There used to be one pub that did a really good one. Not anymore, so I'm keen to find a good palmer down here.
Very good. Favourite drink?
Favourite drink? Oh, it's coffee. Yeah.
Being a barista,
Piccolo latte is what I usually get.
Yeah. Very good. Favourite colour?
Favourite colour? Oh, probably blue. Blue or green. Okay. Yeah.
Very good, very good. Favourite footy team and why?
Footy, so AFL team, Geelong Cats. Yeah, I was born in Geelong. Yep, good clap. Hope there's a lot of Geelong fans around. Yeah, I probably like the Cats a bit too much. At least Elisa says she thinks I'm a bit too obsessed. But and why? Because I was born in Geelong and Dad used to take me when you could just go in for, he must have been a bit of a cheapskate, I guess, at halftime they let you in for free. We'd always go in at halftime to the standing room and I just remember very vaguely just Gary Ablett doing cool things. Yeah, but I was quite young, so he's the only player I remember watching then.
Love it, love it. Favourite holiday destination?
Oh, that's another good one. We love Noosa. It's a pretty good spot. We also love, there's a little South Australian spot called Aldinga, which is just south of Adelaide. It's just a quiet beach town, close to a lot of good spots. So, yeah, anywhere towards the beach though, because we're so inland at Mildura, we just like to get to the beach, something like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. What was your least favourite subject at school?
Oh, least favourite subject at school. It was probably art, to be honest. Yeah, didn't do very well at it either. Yeah. So I'm not very artistic as far as with the hand. You couldn't use computers to do everything.
Yeah.
Or they didn't let us at least back then. So.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, gee. Probably Horses. Same one for everyone, isn't it? Yeah. Love that song.
Very good.
Big
very
cliche.
Good. Speaking of horses... Would you rather have to fend off 100 duck-sized horses or 100 horse-sized ducks?
Oh, that's a good question. 100 duck-sized horses, fending off or horse-sized ducks. So I'm going to go the duck-sized horses just because of their shape, size, sorry. Might be able to outrun them. Might. Yeah.
Fantastic. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
No chance. No. Yeah, it's a big question,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it ruins the whole pizza. Sort of
exactly.
Seeps through.
Yeah,
you don't want that much acidity in your pizza.
And your toilet paper, is it over or is it under?
Over, yeah, okay. Definitely over.
Good. Do people eat or drink soup?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never really pondered that one. Yeah, gee. I'd probably say eat soup because you've got to have crusty bread with it, don't you? So
fair call.
Maybe eating it.
Fair call, absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe I should ask Elise, but I will ask you. Can you fold a fitted sheet and on your own?
Oh, gee. And I've tried this because my mum is really good at it and never could I work out how she had a linen cupboard that fit more than one in. YouTube tutorials, watch them, tried that. Elise doesn't know either. It's we've tried it, yeah. One time I fluked something that was a little bit flatter than, yeah, it's hard job. I'd be interested to know if anyone knows how to do it here. It's just something, there's some gift to it, isn't there? You sort of hide them at the back of the linen cupboard so the flat sheets are in front of them and just kind of get away with it.
You should see our linen cupboard. There's a template for how. It's incredible. What's your go-to midnight snack?
Oh, midnight snack. Probably Maltesers for a midnight snack.
Mm.
Yeah, something like that. Probably chocolatey sort of stuff if it's midnight. Yeah.
Perfect. Thunderstorms, cool or scary?
No, I like thunderstorms. Yeah, they're good.
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Favourite Bible verse?
Yeah, good one. Good question. Probably John 3:30. I wasn't going to say John 3:16. You're about to go, this guy. Has he even read his Bible? No, it's John 3:30. So at the back end of that, just to give context, Jesus is baptising on the other side of the river, and John and the Baptist and his disciples are sort of seeing that all the people wanting to get baptised are going to John. And John's disciples say, there's this guy baptising. And John's response is in John 3:30, and he says, he must become greater, I must become less. And it's just that idea of less of us, more of him. And I try to live by that just so I'm a humble person, because it's very easy not to be humble. It's very easy to be full of pride. So I try to live by that. So Jesus is only greater.
Fantastic. Love it. Married? Single? I think we know the answer.
Yeah, married.
That. Married?
Yep.
Married. So you're going to love this one, Josh. You're really going to love this question. Can you tell us where you met Elise?
Yeah, I can.
You can't.
I can't?
No, apparently you can't. I was told you can't. Anyway,
go on. All right. I could be wrong. I can't remember the exact spot. We think we probably met each other before. Very first spot I ever met her was GPO in Bendigo.
Okay, as you do.
Yeah, because she used to live in Bendigo, and we were just going there after the movie. She didn't want to go to the cinema with us, actually. There's a group of young adults that I was staying with my friend, went there, and we watched Paranormal Activity, and she hates scary movies, so she didn't go. Then we went, and she rocked up. At GPO, I didn't talk to her then, though. That was just the first time I was in the same room as her, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, apparently there's another story where Elise wouldn't talk to you either. Yeah. So you talk about going to the footy.
Yep.
And you see the guys selling the records.
Yep.
And you want to tell us a story about imitating the guys who sell.
Well, I just always, when they're shouting your records, I just shout, "Get your records" as well at the top of my voice. I just get excited when I go to the footy.
Yeah.
And experience. Local Mildura boy going to a place is,
And you're on a date with Elise and you're shouting out, "Get your records." And what did she think of that?
She used to think I was a bit full of myself and a bit of a, probably just a bit of a bit full, more of that pride probably sort of thing. Yeah. She's like, "Who is this jerk?" And so there's a few times where she was interested in me, then I'd do something silly or say something stupid. I'd look for, I don't know, quick jokes or anything like that sometimes, and she'd be like, who's this guy I think he is? All worked out though. Eventually she worked out I was a good bloke.
It did. Yeah. Good on you. Let's jump in a little bit deeper about who Coley actually is. So Josh, can you share a little bit about your upbringing in country Victoria and down in Geelong, and who introduced you to Jesus and that initial step into faith?
Yeah, great question. So like I said, with my footy team, I was born in Geelong, but wasn't there for a long time. I think we were there 4 or 5 years, roughly. Then we were in Ballarat for a small stint, so my dad was a pastor in the Baptist church at a couple of small Baptist churches in Geelong and then Ballarat, and then he decided he wanted to be a chaplain. So for some reason, they chose Mildura to move up to. He doesn't even really know why himself. So he'd start for a couple of years in Mildura, then we'd move back down to Geelong, and that was about, we're up to 27 years ago now. So we moved up to Mildura when I was in grade 2, 3, just mid-primary school, around there, and then we ended up going to a Church of Christ instead of the Baptist Church because we didn't like the Baptist Church for some reason. Didn't click well with Dad at the time, and we went to the Church of Christ, and me and my brother just made heaps of friends. They had a lot of good kids programs, still do actually, but we made friends pretty quickly, so got heavily involved there. just going to the programs. And then probably more so as far as it shaping my faith. So I always loved Sunday school. I was that kid that loved to just know. I used to just love the Bible stories. Always knew them really well. And got to youth group age though. And we had a new youth pastor come. We hadn't had a youth pastor for a while. But it was just as I was hitting year seven. So it was really exciting because, well, I didn't realise how good a youth pastor was until we got one. And then he invited me to youth group. And I just look back at it and think I was discipled well. It's the way I was become a Christian. He taught us the Bible. We ran a Bible study before youth group each week. And we just thought he was the coolest dude as well. He loved video games, which for an old person in the late 90s, early 2000s, someone to love video games, like, oh, this is a bit different for an old guy to love video games. He wasn't that old now, though. He was younger than what I am now. So at the time, thought he was pretty old. But he just was awesome and discipled as well. He taught us about Jesus, taught me all different things. Well, when I say us, it was me and a group of three mates that were pretty close, and he just sort of spent all this time on, sometimes on weekends, on Saturday mornings, all that sort of stuff. He'd take us to do different random things and just taught us about the Bible when we got to see it reflected in his life and just taught us what a disciple is. And we're pretty fascinated by that. And then when we just eventually learnt a different message and had opportunity to become a Christian, we did. And he continued to disciple us, got baptised in that church when I was 15 and just loved serving God ever since. Yeah.
Fantastic. Love it. Josh, you've got a working with children's check, and
I do.
Kate Killick's going to grab those details after church so she can tick that box. You've got a mental health first aid certificate.
I do.
You've got a heavy vehicle driver's licence, medium rigid, and you're an experienced barista. Tell us about the journey of a coffee-making, child-friendly truckie turned pastor. And Greg, we're putting him on the morning tea roster. Yep, good.
Yeah,
tell us about that
we'll tell you about the story. Yeah, because it's really cool. Because where should I go? So before I was a barista, I worked in retail. I'd probably never work in retail again, but it was good fun. It was discount retail. So I don't know if you guys haven't noticed one here. Is there a reject shop here?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a reject shop. It was Sam's Warehouse, it was called, or Clint's Warehouse. And I was working there. That was my after-school job. And then just after school, I worked there as well. And it went into receivership, funnily enough. Too many junk stores in town. This one, or the whole company did, I suppose. People wanted to stop. That's when Kmart was probably going to take over, and Kmart turned into the junk shop like it is. But anyway, I was at that point, I'd had me call into ministry. I decided that I wanted to be a pastor after a couple of years of just trying to work out what I wanted to do and feeling that call to ministry. And I'd already started study, so I was about a year into Bible college, and all of a sudden this place went in receivership. And we lost all our shifts, basically, because the company had no money. So none of us were getting paid because we couldn't get stock and all that sort of stuff. So it happened pretty suddenly. I'm like, oh, how am I going to afford to keep studying and all that? So was didn't have my job, had me study. But because of my study, I was studying nearly full-time. So I needed to, and also had church commitments as well because I was a student pastor when I was studying. So I'm like, oh, I'm pretty busy. Hopefully they can give me jobs that fit in with my schedule. And I kept applying for random jobs, and people didn't want to give a job to someone that was only available this day, not available then. Pretty tricky. So I was almost at the point where I was going to have to quit doing Bible college and just put it on the back burner for who knows how long until I could afford to pay rent and all that sort of stuff. And I remember I was getting quite close in the bank account back then. I was like, oh, this is, what am I going to do? And I remember quite well, I was just sitting at a coffee shop somehow, could afford coffee, and sitting there where I went to, and that's where I did a lot of my study. And these two guys that worked at that coffee shop, it's called Mokameka, if you ever go into Mildura, and they just come and sat with me at the table. And they said, oh, we're not sure why, but we're thinking you might be good we're starting a new cafe at the other end of town. Do you want to work there? I was like, oh, and I didn't apply for it. And I said, oh, I've got all this church commitments and all that sort of stuff. The other guy went to a church. He's like, no, we're passionate about helping people through that sort of stuff. And one of his visions for the business was to help people that were studying, all that sort of stuff. So they gave me that job that I never applied for, and it was like the perfect hours. So it was just God's hand was there to help me become a barista whilst I studied for ministry. And the cool thing about a barista, it's really a very ministry kind of job, because it's the relationships you form with people, because you get daily customers, sometimes two-a-day customers. I was blown away by, I tried to do the math of how much money each person was spending on their coffee that came in every day, and I worked out how my wages were paid for there pretty quickly, because even just a few regular customers can make a cafe run.
Yeah.
But you get to know them, you get to meet them, some of them, started playing cricket with one of the guys that was a customer, just little things like that. Yeah. So it had that real ministry similarity to it. And from there, I just, eventually gave up the coffee making, something I really enjoyed, but obviously much preferred a job where you can actually have proper relational impact and spiritual impact.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So you're at the cafe and you're pouring Love Heart coffee art.
Yeah, I've never great at the latte art. I'm not too bad at it, but never great.
So you're doing your latte art. You're a student minister and you're training all at the same time. Tell us about that training. Your theological training. Yep. Who was that with? We've got a couple of young people here, sort of progressing into that area. How did you go about it? What wisdom can you impart on them?
Yeah, I loved my training journey. So I did through ACOM, the Australian College of Ministry, which is now just merged with Stirling. If you're a Church Across familiar with the Stirling Bible College as well, but that wasn't merged when I was there. It was basically the only option for me as I was basically running the youth and kids min at the time at our church and also studying. So I didn't really want to just leave and go away for a few years and then come back and who knows what would have happened to the ministries then at the time as well. So this model worked to the ACOM model. You basically was trimester form. So I think there are 11-week trimesters and you'd spend a week in Melbourne, Bendigo, Ballarat, one of those places, or Geelong. You'd spend a week and do most of your contact hours there and then the rest was online. So did it that way through the years. And so I chipped away at that and took me 5 years to do the Bachelor of Theology. Mm-hmm. And, just loved it, like the stuff you learn, especially the weeks you went away and the intensives you did, because it was just a week where they got to cram a lot in. It was actually really good because you just really got exposed to so much good stuff, so much teaching. And it just worked really well for someone that was able to do ministry at the same time. I've always wondered what happens with pastors if they had to go to Bible college, come back and realise all the different...
Sure.
Look, it's probably the same with every job, really, and realise they don't love it.
Yeah.
So
it
was just really flexible to be able to do that. Yeah, and it's exciting to hear other people are doing that stuff here at the moment, because just the way it just blows your mind open to just how limitless God is in theological training. It's awesome.
No, that's good. That's good. So where to... After your training, were you then immediately ordained as a minister? And then what can you tell us about your experience as a Christian leader and ministry experience?
Yeah. In my last year of what I knew was my last year, that's when I started the ordination process. Mm. So I started getting ordained then. Funnily enough, actually, that's one link I got to Gisborne was that's where... I've had a mind blank to his name. Is it Steve?
From CCVT?
No, from before here, the pastor.
Oh, Paul.
Paul. Steve Paul. Same sort of Aussie
just
name.
Just your middle name.
Yeah, just my middle name. Sorry. Yeah, Paul was my, these ordination supervisors that had to sort of meet with you every 2 months or something while you're getting ordained. And he was he had two of them. He was one of the ones for mine that interviewed me every couple months and stuff. But I did that process through there, so I graduated and got ordained all at the same time, which was really cool. I didn't actually get to go to my graduation because the ordination was on the same day.
Okay.
And you can't get ordained if you're not there, but you can get you can graduate and just get your certificate in the mail, funnily enough. Yeah, so from there, experience as a Christian leader. The beauty is I've been doing ministry in some form of leadership since 2008. That year I finished school. It was probably something that I shouldn't have been leading in the way I was, but I started leading kids min at this program that I went to when I first went to the church. And when I first started, I said, nah, kids min's not really for me. I just want to do the cool stuff like youth ministry. And like, oh, well, we don't really have a youth group at the moment. We've sort of got, it's in hiatus for a year, but you can do kids min. I was like, oh, no, if you're serious about this, you'll do it. And I was like, oh, okay. Went away, come back, said, yeah, I'll do it if I have to, but just loved it.
Yeah.
And then the guy who was running the kids min just vanished. Just stopped attending church, stopped coming, stopped saying, he just messaged me one day, said, can you do this tonight? I said, yep. And then that was the last time we heard of him. And I was like 3 weeks into my kids ministry experience. So I just had to start running that and all the program because while they tried to work out where he was and all this, and it was real weird. He didn't like leave town, or he just stopped communicating with everyone. He must have got a new phone number and just decided he didn't want to do it anymore. It's real random. But then from there, I started the year after when they got the youth group up and going. I was probably wise. They said, oh, we didn't want you to do everything at once.
Yeah.
And then started doing youth ministry, which I just loved, which I still do pretty much up until the end of this term, which I just love. But then I've done all sorts. Like, it didn't take me long to realise it wasn't just youth ministry that I was passionate about. You'll meet some youth pastors and they'll say they're a youth pastor till they die. But I never felt that. I love youth ministry, kids ministry, but I just see it as all just any, I love any people basically, like I've always felt a easy connection with all ages, like it doesn't worry me if I'm in a room of people over 60, people under 60, people under 20, all that sort of stuff. So I was able to try so many different ministries through that. So keep all my notes so I don't forget any of the different things. Yeah. So I've pretty much been involved in some way with just about every ministry there is. I've never been too heavily involved in the women's ministry. But apart from that, I've been able to do all sorts of stuff. But the main ones I've done with kids, with youth, preaching was something I just loved doing and got more and more opportunity to do. And now we do about 50-50, me and my pastor over the last 3 years probably. So because he loves to share the load and gives us their different styles. So I preach quite regularly. Been involved in the mission side of it with we do local Indigenous mission to a place called Dayton, which I didn't realise John Gilmore went to this church. Hey, John. Yeah, of course. I saw his name. Thought, oh, okay. There you go. So he'd know a lot about Dayton.
Yeah.
And as another connection, I met some people from Gisborne in Dayton a couple of different times when they were supporting some of the different stuff we were doing in that community. But I headed up a lot of the different programs that we ran through our church at Dayton. And, just all sorts of different things, team building, discipleship, small groups, done all sorts of different stuff in that way. Yeah.
Who's that? Is it Ilias?
Ilka. Ilka. Yeah, good fella. Yeah, running the youth centre down there. So it was really cool again just to see little connections pop up with Gisborne.
Absolutely. Congregation, a requirement of each of our applicants as we journeyed through the search for a ministry team leader was for the applicant to submit a written response to our four key growth areas that were in our church profile as that document created by our transition team. And the four key growth areas were shared leadership, small groups, Holy Spirit engagement, and community outreach. Josh, I've already seen you in acts of connecting with some of our leaders already before you've even started on day one, which is super exciting to see. Your response to this key growth area was around empowering and coaching our leaders. What is it about shared leadership that resonates with you?
Yeah, I think it's just one of the best ways to do leadership, I suppose. So the way you just said empowering and coaching, that's how I'd describe my leadership style. And I don't want to ever be one of those people that think I've got all the answers, I know exactly how everything's done. And I think just that one leader model where it all falls onto one person can be why you see so much burnout, particularly in a lot of churches. And God gifted the church with so many people with so many spiritual gifts and all that that shared leadership is a way that we're able to actually use those gifts to the people. You know, other people have been gifted leaders, other people would have gifted in so many different forms, gifted teachers and that. So I think shared leadership is really about helping, like something I'm passionate about is bringing out other people's leadership abilities and leadership capacity and seeing their gifts shine. I think you only do that by giving opportunity as well and coaching alongside and asking lots of questions and helping drive towards that common goal. So I don't want to ever be the sort of leader that comes in and says, oh, I know all the answers, let's follow me. But it's more that let's go together, let's lead together, let's take this place to where God wants this place.
Absolutely. Your response to small groups delighted me, and it was around the fact that each small group is different. It doesn't need to be the same.
Yep.
Can you share your thoughts on what that might look like?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I love small groups. Like I was saying to Elise, when I showed her your values, the values really stood out to us a lot. Like that was something like, oh wow, this church has got these values really seeing and helped us probably think this is a place that we're pretty interested in. And small groups is definitely one. Like I can't think of a moment where we didn't have small groups or where I wasn't involved in a small group growing up. Always had lots of people in my land room, and at the age where I liked having people in my land room till 11:30 until got to the age where I try and send them home at 9:30 or 10.
Always
been involved. And like you said, one of the things I think about small groups is sometimes people think they've got to be a 10 to 12 small group in your land room, and that's a small group where you just study the Bible and that's it. But I think that's only one version of a small group. It could be a prayer triplet. It could be me, and at one point it was two mates. There was just three of us, and it was at a time in life where we didn't have enough time to get to the weekly small groups. We caught up 7 o'clock every morning at a coffee shop and just read the Bible and prayed for each other in that time.
Sure.
So there's just so many different forms of what a small group could look like. And
there
can be small groups that are a little bit less discipleship focused if you're trying to bring people in and try and get people to come and maybe you just pray for them at the end or something like that. And they can be a bit more of a social small group, mm-hmm. and then hopefully that leads into that more real discipleship-based kind of small mm-hmm. group where there's, you know, it could just be three or four people.
Yeah.
Because you get, sometimes I remember I saw it at our church, you get three or four, and oh, there's only four of us here tonight, probably have mm-hmm. to skip the study. I'm like, well, three or four is a pretty good number, really. So all you need.
Exactly. Triplets are good.
A handful, but good. Yeah. I can't comment on that part.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. You shared in your response to us the importance of being able to discern and listen to the Holy Spirit. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, great question. And this is something that I really probably studied and leant into a bit more over the last 12 months. Like I'm doing my Master's of Leadership at the moment, and I did a unit from the spiritual formation side called The Art of Discernment, because I knew that we were feeling that we didn't need to be Mildura, so we really... I just tried to study discernment as much as I could to make sure I was hearing God right in the time that our family had to move. So always tried to discern God in small decisions, but in big decisions I wanted to really make sure we got that one right. And we loved it, this one, the idea of Holy Spirit gifts was there. Because a bit like I said in shared leadership, we want to know what God's called us to do. We want to know the spiritual gifts that God has for each and every one of us. And that's what makes each and every church so unique, I think. And it's mm-hmm. And it's why churches shouldn't all look the same, because you'll see different churches that are called to a different community. So Macedon Rangers, for instance, is going to look a lot different to Mildura, just because of the makeup of people that God's given us and the mission for the region that God's given us. And just discerning what God wants for that, like what the discernment of seeking God to see what he wants for the vision of this church, seeking God for where he wants each and every person here, where he wants us to serve, who to serve to, who to share the gospel with. And a lot of that looks like praying, clarifying questions, contemplative prayer, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And discernment's such a powerful way of seeking God in prayer and finding that. And, something we've done a lot of over the last little while, but something that we want to live our life by.
Awesome. Community, in terms of community outreach, I love something you said in your response. You said, if your church closed its doors, would the community notice? And I think that's a really challenging question for us to ponder. And I actually really loved your honesty and your response as well, where you said, you talked about community outreach in Gisborne, and you don't know what that looks like yet because you don't know the Gisborne community, which is fair enough. But in Mildura, you were heavily involved in local footy team.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about the experiences you had involved in local footy in Mildura and that connection to the church.
Yeah, community outreach is we're passionate about, because I just love being part of communities, love being around people, and church is just one part of a community, so it's great to be able to be that light for Christ and bring us into that. And that was part of what we were looking for, like when we moved here, like, what's the Macedon Rangers community like? Is this somewhere that we feel God calling us? And I'm heavily involved in our community at home in Mildura, and you said the footy club, that's one area that I've been super involved in. So I've been playing footy there since I was about 18, but now I was on the committee for a while. So I got to that point, I'm like, am I happy here at the footy? I've taken a lot at the footy club, maybe I need to give a bit back. So that's when I got involved on the committee and eventually found my way as president of the footy club, which I've been doing for 5 years now, I think. And it's just been a really good way to use my leadership gifts, because it's funny, footy clubs and churches are similar in the sense that they rely heavily on volunteers. They're both volunteer-run organisations for a majority of it. So just volunteer management as well. Good leadership helps any organisation to grow, and footy clubs are no exception. And just the amount of opportunities that you get in that, the amount of opportunities that you get to just occasionally bring up the gospel whenever, not always in direct ways, but then just being there, a few significant things happened at my footy club.
Yep.
We had two people die of cancer in about 18 months.
Yep.
One of them was a good mate that I played with for a long time. But the opportunities that popped up when they both had cancer, opportunities to pray for people, a lot of people at the footy club talking about death and thinking about it all of a sudden, which would just bring conversations when we were just around the fire after a game or when we were eating Thursday night dinners and stuff. And the cool part that came from that, it's probably bittersweet, but I got to do the funerals of those people, which was difficult, but it was also a real blessing to be in front of, have your whole footy club there in a room that you get to speak to. And I've done a lot of weddings for people at the footy club as well. That pops up a bit.
Yeah.
as well. So you just get all little opportunities like that that pop up. They have to come into my church office when they want to fill out the paperwork.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Little drops like that.
Yeah, little people really on the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Just one thing I've learned in my faith is that things go really well for me when I honour my wife. And I should get some brownie points for that one, I hope. So how has Elise supported you? And equally, how can we as a church support you and Elise?
Yeah, great question.
And Patrick.
Yes. Yeah, no, great question. Now, I was really blessed to find Elise for one, as I said. So just to give a bit of context back to Elise, she's at the back if no one's met her. And I was really I'm excited for everyone here to get to know Elise as well. There was a real joke when I actually got married, and I used it in the wedding sermon, but everyone sort of joked when Elise and I started dating, and then when we got married, that I'm batting above my average. Like the classic Aussie saying, batting. But I think that's 100% true, is the funny thing, because Elise is just an absolute gem that everyone will learn to love soon. If you haven't met her already, and you probably already love her, if that's the case. She was someone I got to meet her in Bendigo, so she used to live in WA for a long time, then moved to Bendigo, and because I was studying ACOM, I had to go to Bendigo for facilitations, and my best mate was also there for uni. So I'd stay at his house for those weeks that I went down there, and he led just one of the young adults Christian Union groups. So she was always one of the young adults there. So after she eventually didn't think that I was a jerk, managed to woo her and convince her that I was worth dating and all that sort of stuff. That's how we got to know each other. But how can you support her? So she, one of her things when we first started dating and chatting was that she never wanted to marry a pastor. So her discernment was probably a bit off there if we're talking about discernment. But we eventually got married, obviously. And she's so good because she keeps me accountable. She's got just a huge faith of her own. She loves ministry. She loves serving. She tries not to serve at certain times. But even when we've had a season of having a young kid, she's still been serving because she just loves the mission of the local church. And she's super passionate about the gospel. That was one of the things that really grew my passion for the gospel, was having someone that just... in her testimony, she was really changed and convicted by the gospel one day, that in a sense of what she thought she knew, and then learnt the gospel properly about the power, how Jesus actually changes, and that caused her to want everybody to know how much Jesus can change your life through the gospel. So that's just a bit of our story. But how can you guys support her? I'd probably just say encourage her, get to know her, equip her. Even though she seems like an extrovert, she's actually an introvert. So sometimes she likes, just recharging in that sense. But I was thinking about this one as well. It's a good opportunity to, part of the reset benefit. She sort of had the disadvantage maybe of coming into Mildura and everyone being like, oh, cool, we've got a new pastor's wife, all that sort of stuff. And there was never a question like this pop up, really, to set some ground rules or anything like that. And I'm not setting some ground rules, but I'll just say a couple of funny stories. So this is mostly just about remembering she's very much a mum, and it's hard for mums just to get ready on a Sunday morning. That's difficult as it is. But when you're married to a pastor, Sunday mornings I try to make sure that I'm, especially days I'm preaching, that I'm ready to preach, that I'm not changing nappies, doing all this right up to the door to the time. So Lisa's very gracious that she gives me that time on Sunday mornings, and she's pretty nice to me on Saturday nights overnight when Patty wakes up at night as well. But part of that means that Elise's got extra work on a Sunday. And it was only about a month ago at church that Patty had a pretty rough night, and this lady sees Elise there, and she's like, oh, don't you know what an iron is? She had creases on the back of her shirt. Yeah. And that was something that Elise wasn't too happy about, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And this lady probably wouldn't even remember what it's like to have kids. It's a shame I wasn't there at the time. I was a bit bummed that I didn't hear her. Just remembering things like that. So for this lady, she wasn't being empathetic, that she's a mum, she's got a young kid, but also I can't help as much as I like to on Sundays. I get to church to prepare pretty early and stuff like that. So sometimes just little things like that. So just remembering the stage of life she's in. And just the last one with that, apart from praying for her and supporting her and all that, is just remembering too that she's not a Z pastor or anything, in the sense of actually she doesn't know. I don't debrief with her all the little things. We still debrief about our days and talk about what happens, pops up at work and all that. But a lot of people at church love to, sort of bugs her a little bit. They love to ask her, oh, Josh was supposed to let me know this. Is he going to tell me that this week? And, oh, can you tell me if Josh was going, oh, can you tell Josh this for me?
Yeah.
And they sort of use her as my PA sometimes. And she's not my PA.
Yeah,
so it's probably just remembering little things like that.
Yeah.
But you guys will love getting to know Elise. She's just an absolute blessing, and she's just, just incredible person.
That's awesome. Batting above the average. Oh, I'm definitely punching above my weight.
Yeah, it's a good, good brag, actually. People think I see it more as a compliment than an insult.
One last question, because I'm feeling really hungry. So, one last question. Your hopes and dreams for the next 2 to 3 years here at Gisborne. I know you don't know the place, but, yeah, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I was reflecting on this. I've been praying a bit already for a while now about where we were going to end up, and when we knew it was Gisborne, just thinking about this, and like this place is just, we love, even from the day we sort of walked in here, just to give you an idea of when we were discerning and all that, and there's just something about this church that felt right. Before, up until now, I'd never been to Gisborne before. I'd driven through. The only time I remember going to Gisborne, Elise used to love Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and they weren't so accessible, and when she lived in Bendigo, and I'd come up from Melbourne for study or if I've been to a footy, I found that you could get Ben and Jerry's at that IGA on the main street in Gisborne. Yeah. So that was the only thing I knew of Gisborne, was they sold Ben and Jerry's, so I'd pick it up on my way home, drop it off, get great brownie points for buying Ben and Jerry's ice cream. So that was the only time I'd ever really been to Gisborne. So before that, like, oh, don't know this place, don't know what it's like, where is it? Is it the weather's like this all the time, isn't it, by the way, I was going to say. No, I always remember when we're driving towards Gisborne, it's where the fog just sets in and all of a sudden the nice day. But we're like, oh, okay, we'll see, see what it's like. But from the second we stepped in the door, there was just this peace that we felt about Gisborne. And just, yeah, the more we got to know people, we just saw so many, I think all of you guys, everyone we've met, are just really authentic, real people, is the way I'd sort of describe it. They just, you can see your real life, you're not sort of wearing a mask or have a charade on, and that's just the sense we got from that. And just as I'm thinking about our hopes and dreams, my hope and dream is just particularly about how God will use people like that, because we can just see so much potential for a community like that, a community that's already doing a great job. It seems like a pretty healthy church. Yeah. I think, and as you said, been a while since you've had full-time ministry in that capacity. Yep. So that blows me away. Yeah. So in direct answer to the question of hopes and dream, it's about seeing what that looks like, because I don't know the region, like I said, with the community outreach. It's probably about achieving those values, seeing what those values look like when we try to hit them. The verse that's come up a lot when I've been praying about Gisborne particularly is John chapter 15, 1 to 8. You can even read John chapter 15, 1 to, I think it's about 16, but it's about the vine and the branches. And it's when Jesus says, I am the true vine. And it's about being connected to Jesus and all of that. But the real image I get from that when I've been praying about Gisborne is growth is something that I think would be great to happen. But you can, you don't have to be healthy to grow. And there's a section where it talks about pruning, obviously, and how we need to prune. But in that, I think what comes with, but so you, even though you don't have to be healthy to grow, because you can have bad growth and all that sort of stuff, but if you're healthy, growth will just be a byproduct of a healthy vine. And I see a healthy vine here that we've got the potential to just focus on health and do incredibly good things. And I can see God just, just making an impact in the Macedon Ranges area, the people that will hopefully come to know the gospel, the people that will grow here in their faith. And just the way that we'll be able to encourage and equip one another on that journey. Yeah. So, as I said, I don't know specifically what that looks like. Sure. Some people come in and probably like, this is exactly what's going to happen. I'm really excited for what the vision that God's got for this church will be. And I can't wait to really just catch up with more and more people and learn about the Gisborne Church Across story, the story for each person's testimony connected to that, and how we think the Gisborne Church Across can impact this region.
That's awesome. And I feel like we've potentially done a bit of that pruning since Paul left and to where we're coming now. It's like we've pruned that vine and we're flourishing again and now we're absolutely going to keep on growing.
And we see a lot of, just as I said, just genuine, authentic people being used by Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.